Everybody, I'm Tom Dorsey.
Yeah, I'm David Clark.
And I'm Tommy Doyle.
And it's October 16th, 2017. Time is flying by. And?
We just got out of Friday the 13th. We're still alive. We're still here.
What? Yeah, the market didn't collapse.
Nope.
Friday the 13th is a lucky day for actually is a lucky day for me. That's the day that I met Cindy, my wife.
Oh.
And it was Friday the 13th. And we always went down like on Fridays, well, almost every day of the week back in the 80s. You know, I mean, after the market closed, you went down to Shaco Slip here in Richmond and partied.
Yep.
That's what we did. And on Friday night, we went to Sam Miller's Exchange.
And
lo and behold, she and a group of her friends from Bank of America, back then it was, I can't think what it was. It might have been Sovereign Bank. It's been so many buyouts.
Mm-hmm.
They came in for a birthday party, and I took one look at her, and I said, "That's the girl from Ipanema. I'm marrying this girl." And I did.
So
almost 40 years ago now.
So you had a big date night Friday.
Yeah, no, it was more. Friday was well, Samantha came home from traveling Europe, mm-hmm. and you know we had the grandchildren.
Yeah, and that was the spend time with the grandkids.
That was it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Friday the 13th, man. Good day.
Good day.
All right. So what are we doing now? Let's play World Economic Indicator Hold'em.
All right. You want me to go first?
What do you got?
I got the Bloomberg. David Bloomberg, U.S. Weekly Consumer Confidence Index. The symbol is COMF, COMF. So COMF. It's interesting to say out loud. On the Dorsey Rice system, you can pull it up as a chart just like you would anything else. So it's measuring consumer comfort and in the United States, and it is currently at its highest level since 2000-2001. And what else is happening? The Dow is flirting with 23,000 today.
23,000 today, yeah.
Okay.
What you got?
I turned my card over. I've got domestic oil production. We are rocking and rolling. I mean, Obama didn't want to produce any oil. Trump does, and we're producing it.
Rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Helping the price of oil come down.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to both of you because I've got the bullish percent for the world.
You're gonna raise
the entire world. Reversed up on Friday for the first time since August of this year. So not only have we seen some of the bullish percents from U.S. equities reverse back up and even international spaces, but now we're getting this global bullish percent that is giving us an idea that demand is back in control. That indicator reversed up on Friday and now since at 54%. So over half of the equities around the globe are currently on a point and figure buy signal.
You got us with the river.
I did.
Last card.
You got us with the river. Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what. You need to go on our system and go to the economic indicators and look at them one at a time. One of the best calls that we have ever made utilizing these was back in November of 2011. And what happened was the real estate... What was it? Was real estate or was housing start? I think it was housing starts.
Housing starts.
Reversed up from many years down, gave a buy signal, and that prompted us to go into the housing market and say, look, anything, buy nails, buy paint, buy anything you want to buy. And you can go back and look at that report.
Yeah, here it is, right here.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly the picture. Yeah, and is housing starts?
It's house starts.
House starts.
All one word.
Go into the economic indicators and go to house starts, all one word, and just take a look at that chart. And you can see how meaningful these long-term pictures are. You also see here in that house chart what happened in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, these are so interesting because they carry the long-term picture. And that's really what you want as far as investing is concerned, the long-term picture.
Well, and in some cases with some of these economic indicator charts, you get a quasi-fundamental look. Some of the things on there are GDP and things like that,
right,
which a lot of fundamental analysts look at, but you can look at the actual values themselves charted on point and figure charts. So, you know, rather than trying to, you know, recall where was this level back in 2011 or whatever it may be, you can simply go look at the chart and see if we're near those levels or if we're reaching new highs or new lows. Yeah. So, definitely something to keep in mind if you're always wanting to gain a little perspective on sort of the overall lay of the market, if you will. So very valuable there.
Those house starts are about halfway to where they were post or pre-crash.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So they still got a lot to go. It's on a sell signal right now. Well, actually, the new house sold. New house is sold.
New house, okay.
Is on a sell signal right now, but it has done that three times and continues in the uptrend. So sell signals want when you're in an uptrend above the bullish support line are not so important. And this has had three times where it gave the sell signal, virtually reversed back up and continued on. And I would say the same thing's likely to happen here. Mm-hmm. Been an interesting ride.
Yeah, and it has been. But we've got an interesting few weeks coming up here. We're in earnings season now.
Yep.
So one of the pieces that we put out there on Friday afternoon's report was 'tis the season for protective puts. And really the reason we published it is because this week will grid into right at the heart of earnings season. Over the next 2 weeks, you'll have about half of the S&P 500 report earnings. So, you know, utilizing protective puts can, as we were talking about a moment ago, give you insurance, but also, you know, give you a different way to play the particular position, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it for a second. You know, there are things called option equivalents, which is very important for you to learn. And if I owned a stock, let's say I bought it at 100 and it went to 140, and I know earnings season is here and I've got a great gain in its long-term capital gain, I have no tax consequences here, and I say, you know, I'm going to buy a put against my position. I'll buy a 140 put. In essence, what I'm doing is I'm insuring the position. But when you are long stock, long put, I'm long the stock and I buy a put, there is an equivalent strategy to that,
yeah.
And that's being long a call. So long stock, long put equals long call. Why would that be the case? Well, once I buy that put, I'm buying insurance that if this stock goes from 140 to zero, I can put it back at 140.
Mm-hmm.
But it costs me a premium to do that.
Right.
Conversely, I could say, you know, hey, this is long term already. I don't have any tax consequences. Why don't we just sell the stock and book our gain and take a small amount of money and buy an at-the-money call? Well, you've done the same thing. Stock goes to zero.
At the premium.
You lost the premium. That's it. And that's equal to the premium of the put.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about option equivalence is very, very important. If you look at a put by itself, you know, if I sell a put naked, in essence, what I've done is I've done a covered right. It's the same thing as a covered right. So learning option equivalence will really help you in this business. And I think it's the one thing, if you become an expert in utilizing options to help manage risk in a portfolio, that's the one thing that you're going to find that these robos or other electronic type things can't do.
Yeah,
so it's value add.
That's the value add. That's a value add right there. So it behooves you to learn everything you can about options and be able to help your customers with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially with earnings coming up here.
Yeah,
this is typically absolutely a time where we talk about puts more often than we usually do just because of the added volatility you can see from earnings season sometimes. A prime example is, as TD mentioned a moment ago, you could have a position that's, you know, trading well above its top of its trading band. You have good gains in it. A prime example of that is Amphenol Corporation, symbol APH. That was the feature in our report. If I recall, it was trading about 150% overbought as of Thursday's close when we looked at the chart here. But it's a prime example as a position that you could look to potentially get a put or buy some insurance on, rather, because it has that overbought stance as well. No near-term support is really close by. You really have to trade about 15, almost 20% lower before you hit a material support level on that chart. So with earnings season coming up, if you got good gains, you feel like this might be a little bit of a touchy moment, give yourself some peace of mind. We'll buy a protective put on it, and we'll be able to lock in, you know, at least some gains if we see the potential of an earnings kind of
Talk about the psychology.
There you go.
Of buying puts as insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be in this business a while to understand. Now, you guys haven't been in the shoes of an advisor or a stockbroker. But the first thing, it seems great here. I'm going to protect the portfolio. We're going to protect you at 140 from 100. This is all great. What's going to happen then if the stock goes from 140 to 160 and doesn't stop? The customer's going to look at this and say, why did I pay that?
Mm-hmm.
This was ridiculous. Come on, man. What's up with this insurance stuff? What they want, the second that you buy that put against that stock, they want to see the stock collapse.
Right.
They want that stock to go from 140 to 100 or 90 and watch the, them get a use of the put. They want to get use of the money they put up. Now, conversely, when you think of a car, if I was to buy a Mercedes like you have, and I'm not driving it off that lot without insurance, right?
Right.
No way.
No way.
You can't. And not legally.
Yeah, you can't. And throughout the year, I really hope I don't have to use that insurance, right?
Yeah. I just had to use mine. Hail damage.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, whole beautiful good. Car.
I know.
I can't believe it.
How do you get the whole thing replaced?
Lord. Well.
Comes in handy.
The one thing that you hope never happens is you never use your insurance.
Right.
But in the investment business, the second you buy the insurance, your customer wants it used.
Yeah.
So you got to understand that psychology in the beginning. So I want to talk to the customer about, let's hope we lose this money. It's there as an insurance policy.
Right.
And it's not unlike driving your car off the lot, a brand new Lexus convertible, whatever, and you hope you lose it.
Yeah. That's the way
you strange things happen in people's minds. They do one thing all their life the exact same way. They understand it, they get it, but then they do the same thing in the investment business, they don't get it.
Right.
So it requires an explanation.
Yeah. And one thing to kind of do as a best practice, if you do have your stocks in a portfolio, from David's point in that piece, you can go to the query engine, you can set alerts to see if stocks that you own have earnings coming up, and it will send you an email alert. David put some nice tables together outlining which day and which respective tickers have that. Another way to do that would be to set up those alerts, stay on top of those kind of things moving forward.
You know, I look at some of these economic indicators. It's really interesting if you look at tech sales, and that chart comes in tech sales. You know what's going to happen here? It's going to be a big move, and sure enough, you're at new highs in the tech sales, and that's been going strong. In fact, it's interesting. If you look back to 2008, tech sales really didn't give up hardly anything during that period. Mm-hmm. The one time it did give up, 1998, 1999, mm-hmm. when we were about to bust the dot-com craze. That's the time. So go through these economic indicators. You're going to find something very interesting to talk to your customers about. And it's a revelation for a long-term picture.
Wonder what the retail one looks like.
Retail, I looked at it last night. I looked at all these last night. Retail, straight up.
Straight up?
Yep, right. Straight up. So people are still buying. You don't see any correction in retail.
Consumer confidence.
Yeah, yeah. There you have it.
We loop back all the way to the beginning.
Yep. That's where we were. And this is something for you advisors to talk to your customers about. Yeah. So we'll stop here. We're done with economic indicator hold'em.
David wins.
David wins.
I won on the economic indicator
hold'em. All right.
So. David's buying lunch.
Sounds good. See you all next week.